Welcome to Future of Freedom. I'm your host, Scott Bertram. Future of Freedom is a production of America's Talking Network. You can check out all of our great podcasts at americastalking.com. To support great podcasts like this one, please donate by clicking the link in the show description. We're joined today by Cole McNeely. He is general manager of America's Talking Network, part of the Franklin News Foundation. You can find out more at americastalking.com. Cole, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
So tell people, as we ask all of our guests, what is America's Talking Network? Why does it exist? What's its mission?
America's Talking Network fulfills several different functions, one of which is a distribution hub, which is the forward-facing part of America's Talking Network, where we have this collection of podcasts that really vary in nature, but the underlying tone in all of these podcasts, and this was really important when we created America's Talking Network, is we wanted to turn down the temperature in the room. We thought in news discourse and political discourse in general, it was a little too hot. And so we tried to bring together these podcasts that were not hot take centric podcasts. These were very thoughtful, nuanced podcasts, put them under the same umbrella known as America's Talking Network. And part of that was the idea that there aren't a whole lot of places out there that are selling civil conversations and nuanced civil conversations at that, because it's a hard sell. You know, it's a lot easier to throw haymakers across the aisle from the left or right. Both sides are guilty of this. We're really trying to find that consumer probably in the middle right, middle left, right there in the center, that is really tired of the political games and the politicization of media on the extremes on both sides.
Talk more about America's Talking in just a few moments. This is part of the Franklin News Foundation. America's Talking Network is... How does America's Talking Network help to further the goals of the parent of Franklin News Foundation?
Yeah, I think I spoke to it to a degree in that previous answer. When Chris Krug, who's the president of Franklin News Foundation, and I had this conversation about America's Talking Network, we felt there was a real hole in the media market, which Franklin News Foundation is obviously in. Our sister organization, the Center Square, which is a newswire service that is delivering news from a taxpayer's perspective, we have their podcasts as part of our network as well. And there was really this desire to get into the podcast space to really further the mission and the goals of the foundation itself. So it's a lot of the same mission and goals, just in a different medium.
In the world of podcasting, what makes these shows stand out? Why does the world need more podcasts? There are so many. Anyone can have a podcast. Anyone can distribute a podcast. Why are these America's Talking podcasts notable for people out there looking for this conversation?
Well, here's the question, Scott. I don't know if the world needs more podcasts inherently, right? It's more that the world needs more of the right kind of podcasts. This is a developed marketplace. The podcast sphere is. There's no whole of podcasts in general across the board. I don't know how many podcasts there are created, but there's a lot. But the reality is most podcasts are listened to by less than 20 people. So looking at the pure number of podcasts, I think, is a little misrepresentative of the podcast market as a whole, because there are a lot of podcasts, but there are a lot of podcasts that, frankly, nobody listens to. And then there are a lot of podcasts out there that are poorly produced, are very cynical and mean-spirited in nature, looking for echo chambers and serving that same echo chamber over and over again. And so it's not really as much about, oh, there's a market opportunity, we're on the front edge of podcasts. No, it's saying, look, there's a developed market of podcasts out there, but there's not a developed market of civil podcasts. That's really the void that we're trying to fill. It's not the void of just podcasts in general. It's a void of the right kind of podcast.
Why is audio compared to video, compared to print, text, web, reading, why is audio a way to convey these messages, to convey these arguments? Why is it a good way? Why is it perhaps a better way?
Audio, I think, has this long history of telling stories. I think audio gives you the flexibility to go on for a long time. We don't have constraints on most of the time, except for arbitrary constraints that we would put on these podcasts for links and things like this. It allows you to get into the nuanced details. I know I keep hitting that word, but I think it's important. the nuanced details of these conversations that are being had. And frankly, it really allows a consumer that wants to consume this type of information but might not want to sit down and have the time to sit down and read a 2,000 long word story. They can put this podcast on the background. They can have it on while they're driving to work, while they're at work, while they're working in the yard, all sorts of things that I think, you know, when you don't rely on the visuals, which video inherently does, it takes you away from being that background entertainment. Video you have to have on, and you, generally the video is an important part of the entertainment value of the product. And so I think audio allows you to be that background entertainment while people are going about their daily lives. They don't have to sit down and say, hey, I've got an hour blocked out tonight because I got to listen to podcasts. That doesn't really happen. It's saying, hey, I've got a half hour drive to work. What's going to entertain me on my drive to work? It's not going to be a YouTube video that relies on graphics. It's not going to be a newspaper article that you have to sit and read. And, you know, the people that do that, I'm sure their insurance premiums are pretty high. So as a whole, I think it's that flexibility of audio that allows it to function so well in so many different environments that fit into the everyday lives of people.
Cole McNeely is with us. He's the general manager of America's Talking Network, americastalking.com, for the suite of podcasts and audio available. You've mentioned a couple of times now, these are civil conversations. One of the goals is to lower the temperature in our conversations, in our debates on specific issues. Is there a risk of losing some people, or perhaps having them believe that an issue is less important, less urgent, because the fire, quote unquote, isn't taking place in the argument?
You're going to lose a certain amount of population for that. But the solution to policy issues, that's a very nitty gritty, get into the weeds type discussion, because it's complicated. Again, these kind of talking head types, they try to make it not complicated. They try to make it black and white. I would actually argue that the nuanced take on politics, that the nuanced approach to it, gives the politics, gives the policies, gives the issues the serious consideration that they need. It's a hard argument to make. Do we really want to get into this conversation of having a 3-hour podcast on a, you know, transportation policy? Mm-hmm. It's less so about saying, oh, these things aren't important. It's saying, no, these things are so important that we need to stop treating them like they are so arbitrary, like sport.
Is the goal here to change minds? Is the goal to achieve clarity on policy positions? Are you trying to influence people or inform people with the America's Talking Network suite of podcasts and audio?
Well, it's both, right? You have to contribute something to the conversation that's worthwhile contributing. You have to entertain. We will always have people that have disagreements about policies, culture. The best way to live together in said country is likely to try to at least understand the other side. It's not saying you have to meet them in the middle. It's not saying anything like that. But you and I could disagree about a policy matter, and it doesn't mean I have to hate you as a person or you have to hate me as a person. And it doesn't mean we have to come together in the middle. That's not what it means. You know, when you're actually trying to operate something, you consider other ideas. And you have to be willing to tell other people that those are terrible ideas. I mean, you can say that. There are things to be mad about. There are things to argue about. We should do all those things. But there is a way to conduct yourself to do them. And I think broad stroke, people agree on that. It's just saying, where is the line that we should go up to? I think broad stroke, most people would agree that if we have a disagreement on a political debate or a political subject, that we don't punch the other person. I think most people would agree that that would be beyond a reasonable line of political discourse. And so now, you know, we say punch somebody or shoot somebody, and that, hey, that used to happen, right? Duels used to happen. So I'm not going to pretend like they didn't. If we have determined that duels are not okay in political discourse on a political debate, punching someone probably isn't. Then it keeps going back to saying, like, where is that line? We always talk, oh, don't attack the politician's kids. Okay, so that's a line. I really think our goal is to influence people and try to bring them a little bit more toward that reasonable debate side.
Cole McNeely with us, General Manager of America's Talking Network at americastalking.com. Cole, people head to americastalking.com or find those podcasts where they find their podcasts. What are the shows they're going to find?
We have a big array of podcasts that I think people could consume. We produce a podcast internally called Everyday Economics, which we put out several times a week. That is with a PhD economist talking about economic news, how to interpret these big ideas into kind of these consumable bites so that people, when they see big news, that they can understand what it means, the so what of the GDP number. We have podcasts that are conversation podcasts that really fit into that vein of what I'm talking about, which is talking with people, letting them talk, but pushing back on them. And as you keep going, we have partnerships with presidential foundations, with speeches from, the Reagan Foundation has been particularly easy to work with, so I'll give them a shout out. The library gave us the rights to Reagan's old speeches, so we have old political speeches on there if you enjoy that. We have conversations between people on the left and right. The Braver Angels podcast is a great example of that. There is a little bit for everybody. We have Straight News from our Center Square partnership as part of Franklin News Foundation. So really anything that I think a person might want in that general news talk space, I think we have an offering for you, and I'd encourage you to check it out at americastalking.com.
In many ways, America's Talking Network and the guests on this podcast, Future of Freedom, are in the business of distributing ideas, getting those ideas out to people who want to hear them. Do you consider how to distribute ideas like this to people who aren't already looking for it? Is that a possibility with what you're doing at America's Talking Network?
Yeah, and I think you have to bring people into the fold to consume that content that might otherwise not. Again, we mentioned this gets into the market. I mean, when I say genuinely the market of podcasts from a business perspective, I mean, how much is that saturated and how many new people are discovering podcasts and saying, "Ooh, I'm going to pick up a new podcast," that have never listened to one before. Podcasts and people kind of put their blinders on and think about podcasts of saying, well, they only exist on, you know, Spotify or YouTube or Apple Podcasts. The success of a podcast is measured as the amount of plays that you get through Spotify. I think that's a little bit of a narrow-minded way to look at podcasting. As you mentioned earlier, podcasting it's audio content, and there are different ways to distribute audio content to reach the people that you're trying to reach, to influence the people with that sort of civil content and information by utilizing the podcast content itself. I mean, there's nothing that says you can't clip a podcast, put a graphic on it, turn it into a video, and put it down on social media and reach people that way. Because I guarantee I'm going to reach a lot more people with a 2-minute clip on Facebook than I'm going to reach if I serve those people a 40-minute show. And so the idea is, okay, if we can take the content that we create, reformat it, that it's easily digestible. I mean, it's almost like a hook. You can push these short bits out to people. They consume it, and you hope that they bite onto the hook and you can reel them in to enjoy the entire podcast. And so there's definitely ways to do it. But at the end of the day, I mean, Scott, you know this as good as anybody. It takes time. I mean, podcasts are a marathon. And I'm actually interested to see how many podcasts are currently being produced when we look at podcast numbers, and how many podcasts run for 3 months and after only getting, 60 listeners, they quit. Mm-hmm. So there is certainly an aspect of being patient, but reformatting that content in a way that it might get on social media and people will share it and engage with it and that sort of thing is another way you can do that and reach people that otherwise are not podcast listeners per se, but they will consume your podcast content. And maybe I'm biased because it is the organization that I'm in charge of, but I do think it's good to have that sort of content in the social media world, where you see a lot of vitriol and hatred and and things that you would not say in front of your mother. You know that old phrase.
Cole McNeely is General Manager of America's Talking Network. You can find more at americastalking.com, including this podcast right here, Future of Freedom. Cole McNeely, thanks for joining us on the Future of Freedom.
Thanks, Scott.
I'm Scott Bertram. For more episodes of the Future of Freedom podcast and other fine podcasts from America's Talking Network, check out americastalking.com or wherever you find your podcasts. Thank you for listening to Future of Freedom, presented by America's Talking Network.